Our Bible reading this week is going to be in Titus chapter 2. Remember that our theme comes from Titus this year, and so we're gradually working our way through the book of Titus, and I want to encourage everybody not just to read chapter 2 this week, but I think it'd be really helpful to read it all the way through as one letter.
Short enough, you can do that.
Yeah, and remember, we're reading the same thing every day, so it offers us some options to read in some different translations.
Right.
And in the case of this short letter, to go back and read it as a single unit. I think that just really feels differently when
Absolutely.
You read it that way. So in chapter 2, Jeff and I wanted to point you to a couple things to watch for when you read this week. Remember, in Titus, you have this connection that he keeps lining up between what you believe and how you behave. And I think in chapter 2, we have some more of that behavior listed for us, the good works
right.
that we're supposed to be involved in. And in this case, what he does is he gives us some lists, as he does throughout the book. And
right.
so we've got some teaching for older men.
Right.
I wonder if both of us are in that category.
Yeah, you...
I'm a grandpa, so I guess I have to
own being... You crossed that line somewhere along there.
Well, you're close to it.
Getting there.
And then older women, I don't want to touch that one.
No.
You can put yourself in the older women category
if you
think
it as you will.
There. But the younger women are to love their husband, love their children, workers at home, all of that. So, you know, that kind of defines what category he has in mind. And then the young men... And even to Titus personally, you yourself, and finally bond slaves. So as you open the chapter, you're going to kind of walk through these lists. But bear in mind that what he's doing is quantifying what good works look like.
That's right. And these are basically, in some ways, just living up to the role in the stage of life that you're in. When he's, you know, we talk about older men, younger men, older women, younger women. And to Titus, when he defines his good works, I mean, you know, these are, you know, again, the spiritual nature of works as well. When Titus is told to watch as he's a model of good works, you know, the kind of teaching, just the dignity that he shows, the speech that is well chosen. And leaving people no way to say anything evil about us Christians.
I like that phrase at the end of verse 10, to adorn the doctrine of our Savior.
Right.
And also an interesting thing to watch through that context, there are several statements about the impact that this godly life that you find in the list is going to have on the world. Going back in verse 5, when he's speaking to the young women, do this so that the word of God will not
right.
be dishonored.
Right.
And then you get to verse 8, so that the opponent will have nothing bad to say about us. And then there's that idea of making the doctrine of Christ attractive.
Right.
That disciples have this opportunity by the way we live
right.
to show people this better way and to make people want it and want
right.
to embrace it.
And that part of that is, again, understanding the roles that we are in, the stage that we're in, and fulfilling the obligations that come with that. Because a lot of times we think, you know, part of being doing good works is just choosing what I want to do or what makes me feel good about myself. And hear what Paul's saying all the way through, whether it's even the Titus or even the bond servants or slaves, is you have a role, you have a function, and good works are fulfilling that function or that role that you find yourself in life. That's the definition of good works in this context.
And there's something to do at every stage of life.
There is.
So you never retire.
That's right. That's right.
And then that is interestingly connected to what I think is kind of the reminder, and he does this a couple of times in the letter. We'll talk about it in chapter 3 as well, where he goes back to sort of what's underneath
right.
These practical admonitions
right.
About how we ought to behave, the lists that we've seen.
Right.
And so he reminds us that God has brought salvation. And then I'm going to kind of skip ahead down to verse 14, how he redeemed us and purified us and made us his special people. So in verses 11 through 15, you have these things that God did.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to verse 12, and one of the things God did is he instructs us, and now he's speaking to us, to deny ungodliness, world desire, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that looking piece of it, because the other thing he seems to tie in here all the way through is this view to the end,
right?
which is not unrelated to the works.
Right.
So think about that. What we do here and now is inseparably linked to what we believe is coming. How I behave today is powerfully influenced about what I believe is coming tomorrow. And so he talks about that in verse 13, the return of Jesus. And then that brings us to our key text in verse 14. Because of all of this, we are these special people passionate about doing good works.
Right. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, just like, you know, we're seeing the concept of good works filled in and defined in these passages, here too, the concept of salvation is expanded. Salvation is not just saved from sin, saved from hell. It's also saved to something, that there is this you know, we're refilled, we're repurposed for something else. If we're not for sin and sensuality and worldliness, what are we for? We're for godliness and the good works that come with living a God-oriented life. And so again, saved from and saved to or towards something. And that's, you know, that word for that begins verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared. You know, to your point, this is kind of the idea, the theology that sits underneath what we saw at the beginning of the chapter and really the rest of the book too. And so, you know, I have been saved to do these good works, whether it's, you know, good works based on my stage of life or my social role, if I'm an evangelist like Titus, or if I'm in a more submissive position like a servant or a slave, to just whatever. But I'm saved for the purpose of doing good works. That's a key part of what it means to be saved.
That's a great way to read that section from 11 to 14, mm-hmm. is to focus, for example, on what God did, brought, instructed.
Right.
We have the appearing, he redeemed, he purified. And so there's all these key words that relate to what God did. Look for those.
Right.
And then come back as well and think about what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to deny. We're supposed to live. We're supposed to look. We're supposed to be zealous. So I think it's a great way to read that section between, you know, comparing what it is that God has done and what is we are supposed to do. And the key words in there, I think, give us
absolutely
really beautiful picture of that. So I hope you'll enjoy your reading in Titus chapter 2 as we continue to think about being a people zealous for good works.